your body. And Frankie Knuckles left us. And some people go, who? And we'll talk about who. Frankie Knuckles being the godfather of house music and more, who passed away at 59. As we jump into this conversation, I would have to remind you something very quickly here, so I don't want to forget. Speaking of music, Thursday, April the 3rd, WEAA is celebrating jazz in the community at Phase 10 Restaurant and Lounge. Thursday Night Live, hosted by who else? WEAA's own bass man. I should say that with more of a growl, shouldn't I? Features jazz keyboardist Marcus Johnson, so the place will be jammed. The broadcast begins at 8 p.m. More details online at phase10.com or at 410-462-2010. And we are joined here by Dr. Lester Spence, Center for Emerging Media's Scholar in Residence, Associate Professor of Political Science and Africana Studies at Johns Hopkins University, and a lover and a scholar of hip-hop and house music as well. Neil Conway is in the studio, President and CEO in the Zone Entertainment, Urban Retro Music Group, former songwriter for Basement Boys Music, where he wrote and produced tracks for artists like Crystal Waters and Ultra Nate, and has done remixes for artists like Jill Scott, Erykah Badu, Mariah Carey, and others. Good to have you both here.
Thank you for having me.
410-319-8888. So, Lester, since you're on the phone, I'll let you go first. Talk a bit about Frankie.
On hip-hop. But my love is, house music is my love. I wrote a piece on NPR. I said house
you
music
did.
Was my religion. And I actually wasn't really lying, right? I mean, the first time I heard it, and for those of you who are listening who don't know, house music is kind of like an electronic dance music form. It was related to disco, but has a lot more soul in it. And it's two locations, like it's two homes. They're like kind of Chicago in one way and Detroit in the other. And then it spills out in Jersey, Baltimore, San Francisco, throughout the world. It bangs. It bangs. It bangs. It bangs.
It does.
It's taking me closer to God than almost anything other than the birth of my children. And to have somebody like Frankie Paz, it's kind of a signal for those of us who are hitting middle age that not everything in life is promised. And, I mean, if you just think about him, he was just a DJ. He was just a normal DJ who was in, like, one of the later disco DJs, and he just started messing around and making his own stuff, right? Just start making his own stuff, adding soulful elements. A DJ from Detroit, Derek May, sold him his first drum machine, and next thing you know, he was making all these, basically, these basement tracks. And from that, he created a movement that would have been as strong as hip-hop is had it been in New York rather than Chicago.
So, and let me jump back to Frankie Knuckles and talk a bit about who this man was. I mean, who Frankie Knuckles was, and as Lester started doing redefining house music. But who is Frankie Knuckles? Why is he so critical?
Well, to piggyback on my fraternity brother, Dr. Lester Spence.
Oh, you're on the same oh, my Lord, have mercy.
That's right. Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Two of you in the house.
Hey, man, that's what it is. But to answer your question, Frankie Knuckles it's what it is. He's the godfather of house music. Him along with Farley Keith, Maurice Joshua, Marshall Jefferson. Matter of fact, the song you're playing, Marshall Jefferson did the original song, but Frankie Knuckles, you know, instrumental part. He actually motivated me to want to produce music, you know, with the Basement Boys. People don't realize that with the whole house music scene, as Dr. Spence stated earlier, it kind of piggybacked on the era of disco. And basically, DJs, there weren't many DJs who were, there were DJs who were playing records, but there weren't many DJs who were making their own music. And he spawned a whole genre without realizing it. First it was Chicago House, and then the Chicago House scene moved to the East Coast, you know, in Baltimore. We called it Baltimore Club, but then,
right,
like, wow, what's this new thing, you know, house music? And, you know, New York and the East Coast, it spread like wildflower. And then from that spawned your technos and, your progressive houses and all that stuff. Well, I mean, well, anyway, that's a whole other thing.
let me raise this thing about you know, and I really did not know as much, obviously, about Frankie Knuckles as you all do. I started reading a lot over this weekend and thinking about it and his music and what he did. And because I think what I think is going to happen is in time, he's going to get this credit for something that was explosive in this country that people don't even realize, because sometimes that generation's music doesn't get the exposure in mainstream media as other things do. But I'm curious. I mean, he started DJing in the Connell Baz in New York City in the 70s. So there was this whole gay world that was involved in the creation of his music and this explosion that allowed kind of gay, straight, white, black men, women to participate in a thing that didn't exist before.
And it's funny that you mentioned the whole gay straight thing. And it's funny because I guess because of my affiliation with house music, you know, I guess from time to time, my sexuality's probably been questioned. But house music isn't about gay or straight. Now, was it played in gay clubs that initially started out, you know, in the clubs? Because a lot of the nightlife, you know, one thing about the gay community is the gay community knows music. You know, they're open-minded, and, you know, some of us straight-laced people, you know, it took us a while to jump on board, you know. And it's not, house music isn't a gay, straight, black, white, you know, old, young thing. I mean, it's music that actually brings all of those cultures together, and that's why, you know, I've been a proud producer of it, because, you know, I mean, me being a musician, I call myself being right-brained, and, you know, my frat brothers crack on me like, oh, okay, he's out there. But the thing with being a musician, the thing with being a creative person, it's like we transcend all of the barriers of society anyway. And, you know, with house music, for those who are into house music, understand, like Dr. Spence stated, you know, house music is a spiritual thing, you know, and people who don't listen to it don't get it or don't understand, which is unfortunate, but, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But, I mean, it transcends everything. People, it brings everybody together.
Lester, could you jump in on that as well? I'm just curious what you think, you know, about how deep the roots are and what they mean and where it's taken us.
Yeah, so one way to think about, so if you juxtapose house and hip-hop, and then they're both two part of a wider body of black musics, but one way to think about it is to think about the borders that hip-hop routinely creates in the music between New York and Philly, between East Coast, West Coast, between the United States and other places, right? Where MCs are almost expected to shout out where they are, right? House music, it has no borders. So I'd push Neil a bit and say that it's not that it's not gay or straight, it's not black. I'd say it is gay and straight and black and white and trans and Latino. It's everything, right? It's old and it's young. You go to a house music spot, and there are actually a few really powerful ones in Baltimore, and they were lifesavers for me, literally lifesavers for me, right? You can find everybody from my man Andre, who's got gray dreads, and he's probably approaching 60, to people that are almost my daughter's age. And then you can find people who are dancing with girls who are dancing with girls, men who are dancing, boys who are dancing with boys, people dancing by themselves, people who can't dance a lick. Everybody is there, and they're all, in essence, worshiping. It's the most beautiful thing that I routinely engage in. It's awesome. I just can't. And again, to talk about it, it's, we have so many, so often we make arguments about black people's capacity, right? About what black people in places like Chicago can or can't do, right? You think about My Brother's Keeper, for example, with Obama. What house music shows you is an example of is black people's ability to create fundamentally world-altering cultural productions with little to no resources.
Amen.
And Frankie was at the center of that.
And we're talking about Frankie Knuckles. And right now, and Andres, you are listening to another of his pieces, Your Love. And let's listen to this for a minute, get a feel for it, because as People say you feel it more than you hear it. And Lester Spence wrote about that. We'll talk about what that means. Mark Gunnery, one of my producers, just chatted me and said, like the sound system of the Paradox, it's transcendent. So let's listen for just a second. We'll be right back. So keep that rolling on just a little bit. Let's talk about this whole idea of feel it more than hear it. Lester?
So the music has gotten more complex over time, right? Because people like Neil know music theory, know how to arrange music, et cetera. But at the beginning, the music was really, really, really simple because you have people who are DJs who might not have known how to write or even read music, but they knew how to produce beats that had feeling. And they knew how to produce sound and play with sound in a way that evoked a feeling in the listeners, to the point where, you know, so I've always, one of the things that I've wanted to do was kind of go into a house music club and just shoot video of people as they're dancing, and then go into like a demonstrative black church and see people catch the Holy Ghost. The mechanism, what people are doing, like shouting, dancing, jumping up and down, it's exactly the same phenomena. And that's because people with house music, at its best, it's a music that really touches not just your heart, but it really touches your spirit. And it not only drags you off onto the dance floor, it takes you higher. It takes you higher.
So, real quick, I'm going to get to the phone to you and get these other questions in. But.
And to piggyback off of what Dr. Spence was saying, with the music, it's more thought-provoking. You have Gospel House. I mean, it doesn't talk about that pop gum, popcorn, poppy bubblegum nonsense. I mean, it's like if you listen to some of the lyrics are very thought-provoking, and it talks about everything. And that's the thing I specifically love about house music, because it doesn't talk about just, you know, nonsense.
So I do want to get to the phones here, and we have about to make sure we get some calls in. Steve Green called in. We're going to get to his phone call here in a second. But one thing I wanted to ask you, I mean, here you've got Frankie Knuckles, who remixed for people like Michael Jackson, Luther Vandross, Diana Ross, Toni Braxton. People don't really know his name. You know? I mean, they don't. I mean, if you ask most people, Frank, who? And they think he's like an Italian gangster.
I know, right?
So
yeah, sure, yeah.
I'm like Frankie Knuckles. Talk about what you think that means, and also how many changes have happened with house music in the last 30 years, and how this really kind of evolved, and what Frankie Knuckles had to do with that.
Lester, did you want to go first, or you want me to go ahead?
Oh, you can go ahead.
Well, basically, with Frankie Knuckles, he created, like, from that whole house music thing, we didn't used to have remixes. If you recall, we might have had a radio edit and then the extended 12-inch edit with the 12-inch records. But basically, that whole him at the head of this whole era, I mean, started creating the world of the remixes, the Louis Vegas and the Tony Humphreys and the Basement Boys and the Neil Conways and, you know, it created basically with the record labels and this whole new genre of music and this whole different thing that's going on. It basically opened up a different type of market. It created basically more dollars because the music reached out to different people, where it might be a slow R&B song. Now you have Frankie Knuckles doing a remix and it's up-tempo, or you have Louis Vega doing a remix and it's up-tempo, or you have, you know, different people, you know, doing that. So I think it impacted the music industry in a tremendous way.
And one quick addition to that, it also gave room for people like Neil to actually make money doing it, right? So we've got by the end of his life, Frankie Knuckles was playing all over the world and was able to make a life for his family through a music that he literally created in his basement. You know, and that's just, I mean, they helped transform a number of tech industries as far as technology. There are going to be a number of works written on house music and on black electronic music in general, but the types of spinoffs and spillovers, we can't even begin to count them.
So we only have like 6 or so minutes left in the segment, so we should do a longer segment on this because I think this, a lot of people are interested in kind of riffing on this. 410-319-8888. Steve, you're on the air.
Mark Steiner, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
And Neil and Dr. Spence, teammates, how you guys doing? I want to quickly take a slight issue with you, Dr. Spence, in terms of the location of house between Chicago and New York and how you said house might have been bigger than hip-hop. I think when you look at the interplay and the undertones of the gay community within house music, I think that is probably a bigger deal in terms of why house music, at least as Frankie Knuckles, and some of the classic house sounds didn't make it bigger than hip-hop, because when you trace the arc of house, especially through clubs like the Warehouse in Chicago, the Paradise Garage in New York, from the late 70s right through the late 80s, right before hip-hop went on this ascendant arc in the 90s, house and hip-hop were on similar tracks in terms of they were underground sounds. You couldn't hear them on the radio. A number of people that were influential in both genres were not getting mainstream play, and then all of a sudden... Yeah. In the 90s, you had hip-hop just explode, and house did not at least in the classic sense. When you have techno now, and as you stated earlier, in Europe and other places worldwide, I mean, house music today is as big as hip-hop. It's just not the same classic sound.
Let me just jump back. We only have like 5 minutes left in the segment because we've got to go to our city paper segment. So very quickly, Lester, and then come over. To Neil, we'll try to get DJ Pope in this, who's called in, as well as Mark Bell.
Shout out to D Green, another Q. That's how we do.
Rude up.
Real quick, I think D is right, and particularly if you think of the first album that really, really blows up, is N.W.A.'s second album, Ethels for Zagan, spelled backwards. It has another name. And that promotes a certain type of masculinity that easily connects with conceptions of masculinity both within black communities and within American communities in general. So I actually feel that. I disagree more. I mean, there's still some elements I disagree with, but I agree more than I disagree.
Quick calling here.
Let Pope in.
So DJ Pope, go ahead, and then we'll come right back to Neil.
How y'all doing today?
We only have a couple minutes left, DJ, so...
Close friend of mine. I met Frankie in 1980 as a sophomore in high school in Chicago, and it was a club that he used to play at, and I used to do a teen party before the actual grown-up party started, and one night the opening DJ for Frankie didn't show up, and I was able to open up for Frankie, and when he came in, he was like, "Who is this kid playing?" You know. And they told him who I was. He introduced himself to me. And, you know, he gave me a couple of pointers. And from there on, you know, once I left Chicago to go to college at Morgan, we kept in touch. And I would normally see him in music conferences in Miami, New York, and then a couple of times overseas when I went overseas and played. And he would always, encourage me to, keep doing what I was doing. And for someone who was a legendary DJ, he would be just like any other person that you had met, even though he had status with a Grammy Award. You know, he would always smile, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, and Frankie played music. He played music that people can relate to. I mean, he crossed a lot of barriers. I mean, we used to play one of his songs on EAA. The whistle song. I mean, this was,
right,
you know, during prime time, and he was just an all around great. great person.
So we do have to take a break here. We are going to go out with a whistle song, DJ, but DJ Pope. But let me, Neil, you want to say something before we roll?
Yes. Hey, what's happening, Pope? Q was making a statement about the music and how it is overseas. With the music that I've done, like Gypsy Woman and specific, you know, Crystal Waters, a lot of music that I do, and I encourage people who's doing house music, I'm like, look, the market is overseas. House music overseas is mainstream, like hip hop is here. And that was an accurate statement, you know.
Closing thought, Lester Spence. We have to roll.
Yeah, so we talked about the reach he had. DJ Pope is one of the best DJs on the East Coast, if not extending farther. And one of the most beautiful moments I saw was when I saw Pope. Pope has a son, maybe 12 years old, maybe. And his son gets down. And I saw his son bang for about 1,000 people. They were just literally throwing money at him. So I don't know if his son's going to continue in his dad's path, but that isn't possible without Frankie Knuckles and people like them.
Well, this has been great. I wish we had time for a great deal more of this, but we will. We will come back to this and have a great deal more to talk about. I'm glad we did this segment. Throw this out there. We're going to go out with a whistle song. There'll be more on our website at steinershow.org. I want to thank Dr. Lester Spence. Always great to have you with us, brother.
You know how we do.
And two fat brothers in one day. Three, right? Three on the show.
Yes, sir.
Neil Conway, good to have you in the studio. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we're going to brief break and give you a little whistle song as we go out, remembering the great Frankie Knuckles, who passed away much too quickly at 59 years old just the other day.
And diabetes. I mean, shucks, I have it. So
watch yourself, man. Watch yourself.
Absolutely.
Everybody watch themselves with that. We're going to take a quick break and come back. It's time to check out the city paper. Stay with us.